Welcome back to The Journey. Thank you for joining us. And today we have our special guest, one of our pastors here at Crossings, the elementary pastor, Katie Menzel. And she is just doing some wonderful things with our children. She's part of the children's ministry staff. And we're just thankful that she is carrying out her calling to be a pastor right here at Crossings with our kids. I'm kind of selfish there, but I'm sure glad you're doing it. Did you grow up in church? And what's your journey like that would lead you to even want to work in a church?
Well, I didn't grow up in church. And actually, I do think that that's part of why I felt a strong desire to work in church. I wasn't raised in a Christian household. There were seasons of my life where I would go to church with friends and even went to church camp a few times. But really just without the support or without the discipleship, it never just lasted. And so into young adulthood, just kind of seeking, wondering. I was always kind of a skeptical person, wasn't really sure what I believed about God. I thought, surely there has to be something more to the story and to life, but didn't really know where to look.
So what changed? What was the catalyst to cause you to take a closer look or to pursue whatever you thought there might be there?
I was pregnant with my third child, and my husband and I were just going through a really rough patch in our marriage. We were just having to make some big decisions about what we believed and how we were going to lead our family. And so we just started seeking and quickly decided to just give church a chance. I was, again, skeptical that that would be a good fit for us. I just didn't really know what to expect and still didn't know what I believed. But my husband suggested that we give it a try. And so we started attending Crossings. And then really just over time, making choices and decisions. And I mean, God pursuing us once we made ourselves open to God led us to becoming more devoted and just taking steps of faith and eventually committing our life to Jesus.
That's a great story. That's really cool to hear that. So I'm intrigued that you chose to visit church maybe for one of the first times at Crossings. Was there a little more fear of what are we doing in this big place? Or a lot of people are so intimidated by walking into a large church, particularly if it's one of your first times in a church.
Yes. So a friend who attended Crossings and had been for years, they had invited us. So that was just kind of what put it on our radar. I definitely think the size did intimidate me at first, and I didn't really know what I thought about that. It was, I don't know, honestly, a little distasteful to me that it would be so large and thinking, like, how can you really be known and how can you really, like, is that the idea of what church should look like? But I found once we started attending and once we started getting involved, it really got small so fast. I would be so amazed that I would hear someone's story in the worship service. And then, I mean, I would see them walking in the hallways right afterwards. And once I started serving in kids ministry, then I felt like I knew so many people. I would see the people I was serving with in service, and I would get to know a lot of the kids and the families. And so it very quickly became a smaller place that I just loved.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure glad it did. I'm sure glad it got small for you quick, because you all have certainly been a blessing to our church family. So when did the moment come that you thought, I want to work in a church, or I want to do something in the church beyond just volunteer?
So once I started envisioning myself working there, I actually worked at an energy company and had worked there for like 8 or 9 years and really loved my job. But as I became a Christian and kind of my desires and the way that we were centering our family, just the things I cared about really started to change. And it was almost like the Lord kind of gave me a dissatisfaction in it that I thought, well, I really don't want to just be working for someone else to just make more money. Like, I'd really rather be working to further God's kingdom. And so I actually took a season of staying home with my children. And it was a big, decision that was really just led by faith to stay home with them for a little bit. And there was a job opening here. And so it's like the Lord had already been working on me and I was picturing myself in it. And then it was like, maybe this would be a good fit for me. Maybe this is the right time to go back to work and in kids ministry. So,
wow, I'm glad you did. Mm-hmm. When did you and your husband meet?
We met when I was finishing up college. So I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he actually was about to move to Oklahoma City to start a job here at Dell Computers. But our moms actually introduced us to each other. They were kind of like set up. My mom didn't like my boyfriend at the time. And so my mom and his mom were hanging out in my hometown. And they, you know, she was talking about him and my mom was talking about me. And they had kind of, they set it up. Kind of arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Well,
clearly it has worked really well for yes. For you both. Now, did you grow up in Baton Rouge?
No, so I'm from Texarkana, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a twin city, so half Texas, half Arkansas, and I lived there all my life until I went off to college in Baton Rouge.
What school in Baton Rouge?
Louisiana State University.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
not very well liked up here.
And you were a math major.
Yeah.
I can't fathom. I was so bad at math. That was the worst grade. I think the only C I got was in math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to think I've improved, but I don't think I have actually. So take me back 10 years when you began to get that nudge that mm-hmm. you needed to be in church. What was driving that, do you think? What, as you look back on that now, mm-hmm. What did you learn or wish you'd learned earlier? Mm-hmm. What were the aha moments? Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little more?
Yeah, so when I look back at my journey of faith and looking at what God did in it, I can really just see that God used this, you know, this trial, this hard, this challenging time. It's nothing that I would have wanted to go through or hoped for, but that God really used that time in my life to make me alive in Him. He used something that was probably one of the hardest times of my life to draw me to Him. It was, I couldn't really depend on myself anymore. I couldn't just fake it through it. I couldn't, reason myself through what I was going through. And so He really just used that time to reveal Himself to me. And I think He was just so faithful as we started seeking God. He was just every step of the way, whether it was through, you know, someone sharing a Bible verse or maybe coming to church and hearing a sermon that really just cut to the heart, or having specific questions about what was going on and or having specific questions about, you know, was Jesus real? And is the Bible real? Can I trust the Bible? I remember when we first started coming to church, that was when Centered rolled out, and we did a series called Centered. I mean, you taught the series, and, you know, each week it was, who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? But it was, you know, looking back, I can see how God was just very gracious to meet me exactly where I was, and just give me enough to know that that we were on the right path to seek Him.
You got to a point where you were open to what God wanted in your life. And so I don't know, were there other people along the way? Were there teachers or circumstances that cultivated that in you when you didn't even realize it?
Yeah, well, I definitely think that I had a lot of just different experiences with church that were very positive in growing up. I mean, I can remember one of my friend's moms would drive me to church every Sunday, and she would take me out to dinner, with them, and take me to the lakes on the weekend. And so I think that even though I didn't necessarily appreciate it at the time, or even though it's something that didn't stick at the time, I can definitely look back and just see how she modeled what it looks like to be invested, what it looks like to help try to bring, you know, people to Jesus. And so I definitely think that comes to mind when I don't think about my past and growing up and stuff.
You know, I think there's a message in that, that you were being drawn into something you didn't know where it was headed. You didn't know what it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But you had one lady that picked you up, brought you to church, and then you began to kind of just be a part of that family, sounds like, and your friends and all that kind of thing. Something so simple. And I think if we could say to adults, it doesn't take much, but a little initiative and a little care and a little concern, or offering to take somebody in the neighborhood to church with you, you know, could change the course of their future.
Each of us as followers of Jesus should want everyone to know him. We know what it's like to be lost, and we know what it's like to be found, and we know what it's like to be dead, and we know what it's like to be alive. And so each of us should care about every soul, whether it's a child or an adult or in every phase of life. We should have that desire to help bring them to Jesus.
Yeah. You got to preach that sometime. That was really good. But to just, again, point out the importance of that, the simple gestures by adults around us when we're younger can really have an impact, more so than I think sometimes people realize it, whether it's on a kid or whether it's influence or impact on a high school or whether it's somebody that's in their 30s and they're searching, you know. So you just never know. I think we are never probably aware of how God might want to use a simple act of kindness to anybody. Mm-hmm. But I do get the sense that you were very receptive as well, though.
Yeah.
You were open to at least a search.
Yes.
And then what you didn't see coming is that he met you even more than halfway.
Yes.
When you began to take those steps toward him. In your role as a pastor now, what would you say would be the greatest challenge to pastoring second, third, and fourth graders?
I think one of the biggest challenges is you don't always see the life transformation. Yeah. I mean, they can be learning about Jesus one moment and then cheating at the game the next moment. And we know that a lot is going on that is unseen. So I don't get discouraged, but it can feel like day in and day out, you're working towards a goal that doesn't seem achievable sometimes. And that's what I just have to remind myself and trust the Lord that he is working in everything and in all things. And that it's not up to me. It's not up to me to change a child. And even if I don't see a change either in their behavior, it's not behavior modification that we're trying to work on. It's really hoping that they experience Jesus and decide to have that personal relationship with him and realize their dependence on God just like we do each day.
But that's a great foundation you're building there for these kids. That's really pretty special that that's happening. And I couldn't tell what I had for lunch yesterday, but I remember third grade. And there's a friend of mine who wrote a book many years ago, and his premise was third grade is the turning point for kids. Hmm. And then the fourth grade's really critical, that what happens there. So I remember it. And I think, I guess I would say to encourage you, they'll remember this. Mm-hmm. They will not forget this. They'll not forget you. I think we remember those things more than we realize. And I just remember how they taught us. I remember if we were sick, the Sunday school teacher would come by the house kind of thing. And those were moments you just don't forget. And that, without me even realizing that the church was becoming increasingly important to me and would in my future, mm-hmm. it was happening. And without any effort on my part, certainly, mm-hmm. just being in a place where such great people like yourself and your team or pouring into kids. What at times do you see that's discouraging, that seems to make the challenge a bit more difficult in teaching young kids and helping get them ready for the next grade or the next grade or middle school or, you know, all the way up? What's the challenge?
In my role, the most challenging thing is finding people that desire to serve, honestly, to want to get involved, to want to make a difference. The leaders that I have that do serve they go far above and beyond any expectation. They love these kids. I have leaders who've been serving for 20 years, and you just see that it's only because they love doing it. But, I mean, we do have a large population here, and so we want to keep it personal. We want to keep those ratios low so that we have that personal connection so that people could, you know, logistically call on people and go see them and visit them and check on them when they're not there. And so that's the hardest part, I think, is just trying to get people engaged in the ministry. You know, it's not for everyone, and I recognize that, but I think some people just, they don't even realize how rewarding it would be for them. And then I think that it's just hard, you know, it's hard for people to commit to being here lots of times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think the average church attender now is once every 3 weeks or something like that. You know, I don't know what the ratios are, but it's changed quite a bit. But what if there are some adults out there that would be maybe open to serving in the children's ministry area? How would they find you? How would they get in touch with you? How do they know if there's anything even available? How do they know if you even need anything?
Yes. So I would say there's always a need for more volunteers. If someone has a heart for Jesus and a heart for kids, then we'd love to have them just learn more about it. On our website, there's a way to go to serve, and you can click on the volunteer interest form, and you can indicate the area, the age group that you might be interested in. And, you know, that's just wanting to learn more. A few things. The questions that we get are, do I have to write my own lesson plan? Do I have to go buy supplies? And the answer is no. So we provide a curriculum for them. We purchase all the supplies needed to do the curriculum. We do mostly want weekly volunteers who are able to really make an investment each week, but we have other opportunities as well. So maybe every other week or even a substitute option. So if it's someone that's maybe not sure that they can commit to weekly, or they want to just get in and see what it's like, that's a great option for people as well.
Yeah. What part of the building, in case people want to just come and observe or walk through the kids area, where do they find you?
Okay, so we're over past the adult education hallway, so the south entrance. We won't let you in our spaces because we require everyone to be background checked. But if you want to come check in the hallways, and you can peek in through our theaters. At each location, there is a kids pastor that is the main contact that can help filter any of those requests. And we are all do the same curriculum and the same lesson each Sunday, and we put on a church service just similar to the venue and the sanctuary. So we do worship at an age-appropriate level. We have either a video teaching, Bible message, and then we have small groups. We kind of combine the worship service with Sunday school, so like the best of both worlds, and all in 1 hour.
That's covering a lot of ground in 60 minutes, but I'm sure glad you do it. I really am. When it comes to your role and your calling and your work as a pastor to kids, what are some of the greatest moments for you that you see happening within a child's life?
Well, I'd love to see the leaders just make those personal connections and just, again, go above and beyond what takes something that I give them and just make it better than I could have imagined. And so I love to see that personal relationship and that connection. And then in the life of the children, I love to see it click. I love them to take those steps of faith. I always say that Baptism Sunday is the best day of the quarter because it is so rewarding to just get to celebrate those decisions that they're making. A lot of them will come up to me just, you know, randomly throughout the quarter and be like, hey, my mom wants me to tell you that I'm deciding to get baptized. And that's always just such a joy for me. And I love getting to experience and celebrate that milestone with them.
When you talk about a child that is expressing interest maybe in getting baptized, how do you help them know if it's time? How do you help them understand it? What do you do at that moment?
So we do have a class that we offer. It's called Next Steps for Kids. And so that's normally where we just encourage everyone to attend that. And we go through a gospel presentation to make sure that they have really that foundation of what the gospel is and why Jesus had to die on the cross, and then why they're getting baptized. So to just understand that it is that public declaration of faith that they're going to share their faith with other people. And so we ask lots of questions and have lots of fun discussion. And then if they're not able to make it to that class, we do lots of one-on-ones with kids and with families and stuff to just make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because that helps the family, mm-hmm. that helps the young child, that helps everybody understand a little more and value it and appreciate it. So I'm so thankful you all do that and give them a chance to ask questions and to get prepared for the importance of the moment.
And it's one of the things that's actually really cool is that lots of times the parents getting the information and receiving the instruction in class, they might decide to get baptized. So we've had some Sundays where the mom will get baptized and then we'll turn around and baptize their child. And that's just always such a cool thing to see in our church.
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty special to see that happen. Well, thanks for sharing your story and for letting us know what God has been doing in your life and where it all started back when you were younger and then this call to ministry that you responded to. I'm so glad you did, and I'm glad you do it at Crossings. And I'm just so thankful for what it means to families and these kids as well. So thanks for taking the journey. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.